Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival, and I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events, and it is Monday, August 17th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, happy Monday to you, and happy Monday to gold today. Gold was up 370 at 11.1840, off the high of 11.23, but that's okay. And silver is up 7 at 15.42. Platinum is also up $7 at 1,002. Palladium is down 4. At 618. The USDX today, 2.23 to the high side, 96.80. And you have crude oil down 61 cents at 41.89. And the paper markets today did not have a blue Monday, but it's up 67 at 17,544. The NASDAQ was up 43 at 5,091. The S&P up 10. At 21.02, 10-year yield down 0.05 to 2.15%. The euro is still at 1.11 down 0.24. I had a chance to look at overnight markets, and basically unchanged most of the day. Germany was up less than 0.5%. Down 0.5%. Hong Kong was down 0.75%, so not a lot of moves in any of those markets. And here's just an interesting, I've been following gold shares, but I know a lot of our listeners carry Newmont Mining. That was up 2.77% today, Al. But, most of the news today is, of course, everyone is still focused on these elections in the Iowa. I guess they have the state fair in Iowa in which, all the Republican and I guess Democrats are there also. And it is just shocking. I saw a short clip of Hillary Clinton. And it just surprises me how she is taking these emails, the arrogance of her attitude. I mean, it is just, I mean, you would.
What difference does it make?
What
Melody?
Difference does it make?
People die. Exactly. People steal email. What difference does it make? You know.
Now you're looking at classified emails that are growing to 305. There's over almost 18,000 missing emails. And, you know, and she's not ashamed of it whatsoever.
No. Just a big joke.
Just a big joke.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, and it's just amazing.
She doesn't belong here. You know, that's to me, that's just, she doesn't belong here. This is an embarrassment. It should be an embarrassment to the Democrat Party. I don't know if they're embarrassed or they're not embarrassed. But they're just running a gangster. That's all. A liar. Maybe a psychopath. Doesn't matter if people die. Doesn't matter if, you know, we break the law. What difference does it make? You know, it's got to make some difference. If you don't believe in any of this stuff, what are you doing here? And, you know, what gets me about her is she's been first lady, and she allegedly exerted quite a bit of power within the White House while she was first lady. But in the end, she didn't accomplish much. And then she's senator from New York. And what did she accomplish there? Virtually nothing. And then she's secretary of state. And what did she do there? Not much. It's as if she has an appetite for power that is just insatiable. And every time, you know, a lot of people, if they were the first lady, it would be enough for most people to say, oh, my gosh, I've hit the high water mark in my life. Or senator. Good God. I mean, that's a significant achievement. At least it should be for most people. And then secretary of state. And yet nothing seems to satisfy this woman. She wants more. I'm wondering what's going to happen if she gets to be president. And she is as disillusioned by that office as she's been by secretary of state and senator. You know, I don't know what drives her. But it's not normal, and it's as if there's a void inside, from my perspective. She's got a void inside, and she hopes to fill it one way or another. I don't think she ever will. She's just going to keep on looking for more, 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 and never get enough. It's like an addiction. It's like, I don't know. She's, you know, it's a strange thing. She is certainly a strange woman. I would imagine you'd have to be, everybody's got to be a little bit nuts to run for the presidency of the United States. You know, I doubt that you can just point to, oh, that guy's saying he wants to be president. Look, it's going to age you. You're going to lose some years of your life. You might get shot. We shoot, on average, one president out of every four or five in this country. And we managed to kill one out of 11. I mean, it's a dangerous job. And to do what? Get there, it's like Bill Clinton said, you get there and they find out, you know, somebody else is in charge. You think you're going to be the one in charge and you're not. Hillary should know this already. Bill's been through it. He talked about it. Think she's going to be president. She's going to be in charge. And I don't know. She's no more in charge than Colonel Sanders was when he was making speeches on buying his chicken.
Well, she got a little further along in this election. I didn't even think she'd even run, and I really never believed over a year ago. I've been saying for a year and a half, probably 2 years, that she would never be the, you know, the nomination for this election, for the Democrat election nominee for this election. I've been saying that forever and ever. And I just thought that the baggage that she had even prior to the emails were just too much. She wouldn't be able to. I mean, she just wouldn't be able to walk through the whole, handle it. But I do believe everything is done with a purpose behind it. And I believe whatever her role in this. What are you laughing at, Al?
I am laughing at the comparison. You're saying they her baggage, too much to carry into the White House. Well, the previous and current occupant of the White House, according to a lot of people, wasn't even born in this country.
Well, we get that.
Well, that's baggage.
Well.
Right? If you can get in when you're born in a foreign country,
get that,
I guess you can get in with doing anything else. She can go out and hold a satanic sacrifice on the White House lawn. And she might still get in.
Possibly, but my whole point was we were talking about this election, not the one that's currently in there, and certainly never thought. No.
We would never have thought we could get a Kenyan in the White House either. But silly me.
Yeah. There was the Empire State Index, which is the Let me bring it up here. Reading of New York area manufacturing, they fell and brutally in August, one that could make the likelihood, of course, of the interest rate hike probably even more remote. The Empire State General Business Conditions Index nosedived to a reading of negative 14.9 from a positive 3.9 in July. That's
even 17, 18 points
yeah.
in a month.
Marking the worst level since April 2009. And on a scale where any positive number indicates improving conditions was far worse than the positive 4.5 forecast in a poll that people, that the economists were expecting. But it wasn't just weakness at the headline. The new orders component, that also sank to a negative 15.7 from a negative 3.5. And the shipments index sank to a negative 13.8 from a positive 17.9. So, I mean, those are some pretty big dives. And
they are consistent is one of the other points.
Yes.
I saw the same report, and I think there was one item that went up. But out of five or six that they mentioned.
That was unfilled orders, delivery time inventories, and average employee. They were also negative. The index for prices received just barely stayed positive.
Point is, again, we're seeing evidence that the economy is in a state of decline. We're seeing evidence that maybe we're heading into another recession. We're seeing evidence that maybe we're already slipping into another depression. You know, I've said it a number of times on the program, but it's one of the most amazing things I ever saw. I read a book back years ago on the Great Depression. And it was their contention that there was not general agreement that we even were in a Great Depression until about 1933. We look back and say, oh, it started in 1929. In fact, they didn't think we were in a depression. Some people did. They picked up on it. They understood. But most people didn't think we were in a depression. They didn't generally agree, oh, there's a depression going on here, until 4 years after what we now regard as the onset. Point being, we could be in the same situation. We could be in a depression right now. In retrospect, historians can look back and they can point to 2007, 2008, maybe. Maybe they point to something else. I don't know. But it's hard to really know where you are. And it's easy to be deceived, and it's easy to deceive yourself. Where are we right now? You know, in terms of where are we in the economy, and what should we do to protect ourselves? It's time to invest, time to save. What is it that we should be doing? In order to answer those questions, you have to have a pretty good idea of where you are right now. What is the economy really like?
In that report, it showed that the future business activity climbed 7 points. But we'll have to see how this this report fares out with the Philadelphia Fed report. This is the first wave of the regional manufacturing reports, and sometimes economists will pay a little bit closer attention to the federal Fed report. But so we'll have to look forward to that on Thursday.
Well, we always have things to look forward to. And sometimes they're even true. I mean, we're getting government. We'll have another report from the government on something. And we will find out. It might even be true.
Well, you know what? You know she can't raise those rates, so I would expect all these reports to come out not to be on the very good side, which will give her an excuse not to increase those rates. There was another article out today. I think it was from the the Telegraph about the doomsday clock for global markets. And we got a minute, 1 minute to midnight, as central banks are losing the control, and with China devaluing their currency, and an indication that the I didn't mean to play that music. It just pops on all by itself.
Well, you're the only one who hears it, so it's one of those things, you know.
Right.
We didn't hear the music, and it makes us wonder, Melody. We're sitting here. Didn't mean to play what music?
I forget. You know, folks, the headsets that you use and that we use for broadcasting, when these videos pop up on various, you know, pages that you're looking at on the internet, they just automatically play, and you hear that, and it's just so distracting. And I just forgot for a moment, and I thought that was going out over the air. So I haven't lost it.
You're not hearing musicians. Some people hear voices, and in this case, you're not hearing imaginary musicians. This is real music we're talking about.
Music is preferable to voices.
Well, it's a little, I don't know. You know, if you hear voices, you have to sit there and listen to them, and you may even respond. If you hear musicians, maybe you can dance. You know, just kind of start dancing and nobody paying any attention. They're wondering what music you're dancing to, which is the same. You're dancing.
But this report came out about the doomsday clock and, you know, with a minute to midnight, are we running out of time from China to Brazil? You have the central banks. This article and it takes have really lost control. And as the world economies are coming to a halt, and so looking to the stock market's collapse under the weight of all these expectations and record valuations around the world in Europe and all these stock markets. And of course they talk about the China slowdown. You talked about the commodities, how they've been recently hammered. So there's various, it's broken down into various sectors. And perhaps we've seen China as the currency revaluation. Perhaps that was the first domino to fall. And we know that these central banks, you know, what else can they do? I mean, they have thrown trillions of dollars on these economies. They are out of any silver bullets that they had. And so certainly this brings us to the minute prior to midnight for a very unsuspecting decline in world markets and economies. And then I didn't even forget, I forgot to add the shock of interest rate increases, if one is to come. And of course, this bull market, the UK stock market is in its 77th month of a bull market. And of course, that's after they're putting trillions of dollars into the market. How many trillions of dollars do we put into our markets? And so certainly all markets are really overvalued.
Yeah, that's true. There are people that think there's going to be big trouble in September or October of this year. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But if there were going to be a real serious problem that would adversely affect our economy in a way where some people think there'll be some sort of a global monetary reset. I find that hard. I won't say it's not going to happen because I certainly don't know. But that would be a tough sell. You couldn't convince people to give up their green paper dollars and accept some new pink ones unless something extraordinary had happened. They can't just move from green ones to pink ones or green ones to blue ones or whatever. There's got to be something that happens to justify. And whatever that is, you know, what crossed my mind yesterday, what do you think is one of the biggest secrets that our government would like to conceal from the American people? And I think it would be how much gold is left in the U.S. Treasury and in the Federal Reserve vaults. And I wonder, and it crosses my mind, if I was going to have an emergency, if I was going to stage something, I think part of my emergency would be to conceal whatever's going on in those vaults. And that means some buildings have to come to the ground in a big pile of rubble where you can't get down to the gold anytime soon. Pure speculation, probably not true, but it crossed my mind, so we'll watch and see. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. If you stay tuned, we'll be right back.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. And as promised, we have returned after the commercial interruption. The program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
We're running a little special today. We're going to have a tube of Silver Eagles. And again, I got a lot of calls today telling me that the Mint is no longer making Silver Eagles. That's not true. There's been no word out that they are... you know, being stingy on their allotments and so forth. I mean, that's a month old story, but yet people are still hearing this being circulated on various programs and so forth. So we're going to have a little package today, 1 ounce Silver Eagles, 20 of those, and a 1/10 of an ounce American Gold Eagle, $525. It includes all your shipping costs. And I've also recently been, I guess the Graham bars are making its way back on a lot of programs and advertising and so forth. And again, folks, it's a novelty. It's a gimmick. I just don't understand. I don't know what the current price is that folks are selling these coins for, but they shouldn't be selling them.
Not selling coins, they're selling
grams. Selling the Graham bars. I don't know what they're selling them for, but it shouldn't be over $45.
And in fact, you're going to pay more for that. If you were going to buy them, you'd be paying more than that as a retailer if you were buying them from a wholesaler. And then you'd put your markup on top of it.
So
you're selling it. And point being is that a gram is worth right now maybe $40 worth of gold.
I mean,
and it's probably being sold for close to $60. Which means you're paying a 50% premium. That's dumb.
I did a rough comparison on what it would take 3 grams to equal approximately the same amount of gold in a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, you'd be paying about $180 versus $127. Hmm. And folks, that gold in that gram won't buy you any more than what a silver coin would. A gentleman said to me, well, I can buy some needs with it. What kind of needs are you going to buy with the gram amount of gold? You use your silver. You can get more silver for your money. That's what it's all about, people. I don't understand. I just don't get it, Al. How foolish.
Well, people are interested, but they are uninformed, ignorant, and exploitable. That's what it comes down to. You know, you talk about buying these little grams of gold. All right. You got yourself a little gram of gold. I know you can buy them in, I don't know, a dozen or 20 of them in a little block at a time if that's what you want to do. And you can allegedly bend one or two off at a time to pay for whatever it is you want to pay for. But what makes you think, in a worst case scenario, that anybody's going to look at that little block, little piece of metal and agree that it's gold? I mean, part of what will happen in the event that you go to a worst-case scenario, you're going to try to sell your gold or your silver and use it to buy some groceries. All right? Well, how many people are going to take a little chunk of metal and say, oh, yeah, that's gold, I can tell? They don't know whether it's gold or it's brass. And they don't know how to distinguish between the two of them. On the other hand, if you spent the same amount of money on silver eagles or silver or Morgans or whatever, you'd have a coin. People could look at it and they'd believe, yeah, okay, I get it. That's, you know, I mean, there will perhaps always be a certain amount of, I don't know if I can trust this or not. But the skepticism is going to be much higher with these little grams. All right? How do I know it's really gold? How do I look at a silver eagle? I can have a lot of confidence that really is a silver eagle, and therefore I'm more likely to accept it as payment for groceries.
Well, the equivalent of $180, you could have 10 silver eagles. So put 10 silver eagles in one hand and one of those little dinky grams in the other hand, and what do you think most people would prefer?
Three grams. Yeah.
What do you think most people would prefer?
I understand.
And the same way with a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. What do you think most people would choose? 99% of the time. So don't get on. I know there's some folks out there that have a hard time, you know, perhaps, you know, saving up for gold and so forth. Are you having a hard time saving up for gold? You know what? You really should be buying silver. And it does bother me that these folks who have a difficult time saving up are spending and I shouldn't say this on the radio. Stop me out before I go.
Everybody, cover your ears. Millie's going to say something she shouldn't say. Everybody got your ears covered? Okay, go ahead, Melody.
Can I go now?
Let it out.
It's not right that these things are being promoted for non-confiscation, you know, for the people who don't have the money that can't buy. It's all wrong. It's just wrong.
It's a hustle, it's a con, and people that are saying, oh, we're doing these little grams because it's good for the little guy.
It isn't.
Bunk. It's just a hustle. You're overpaying by roughly 50% compared to what the price of the gold is.
And I understand.
And it's not a collectible. I can understand it. If you have genuine collectible, it's a rarity. You got a little bitty chunk of metal that might be brass, might be gold, might be who knows what.
And I understand lots of times people do these things to support the program they're listening to. I get that. I mean, I couldn't be doing this without the support of our listeners who purchase their gold and silver for discount gold and silver. I wouldn't be able to support other programs either. So it is important. But we give something back at a reasonable price. You know, if you want to support those programs, send them $20. Okay? But, you know, Anyway, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. $525 will get you 21-ounce silver eagles, and it will give you a 1/10-ounce American gold eagle. Includes all your shipping costs, $525. And I know a lot of listeners have signed up.
You're going to get 20 silver eagles, right?
Is that what I said?
I don't know. I almost thought you said gold eagles. I almost thought you said gold eagles, and I wanted to make sure whether I heard right or wrong.
I am very excited today. 20, yeah. 1 ounce silver eagles,
mm-hmm.
1 1/10 ounce American gold eagle. It includes your shipping costs, $525. And I also want to remind the listeners that the newsletter, if you signed up for the newsletter at the website, it's running late today, so it might be out late this evening, perhaps.
Technical tomorrow. Difficulties.
Yes, we've been having a little bit of that late.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's next, Al?
I don't know. I got an article here from Newsmax.com. The headline is Mark Faber, Recession to Hit United States. Gloom, boom, and doom. Report publisher Mark Faber warns that the United States is on a collision course with a recession. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, is that all? I mean, if we can get out of this with nothing more than a recession, hey, that's good, all right? But I don't think it's going to be quite that easy. He goes on and he says there won't be any safe place to hide as an economic downturn sweeps the globe. He expects a worldwide recession, maybe a worldwide depression. He's not saying that, but worldwide. This isn't going to be confined to the United States. He says, I think there's a deceleration of economic activity everywhere. The U.S. has done relatively well, but also in the U.S. there are now cracks that are appearing. Industrial production, new orders for durable goods. If you look at the trade balance of the U.S., imports are up and exports are basically down. Why are the exports down? Because the dollar has been rising in purchasing power on the U.S. dollar index, a measure of its value in relationship to foreign currencies, and that's the principal reason why our exports are down. Now, Faber has some interesting points. I mean, that's none of that's news exactly, but it's just interesting that you get it from a source who may know what he's talking about. And he says, hey, you're headed for a recession. Well, I'm saying, hey, if that's all we get, hooray. You know, I think it's going to be more than a recession. But he goes on and talks about China, and he makes a couple of interest points that are at least interesting to me. Says Faber said the Chinese economy isn't as strong as the official Beijing government reports have indicated. A slowdown in China could pull the entire world into a recession. Meanwhile, oil prices have declined to a six-year low, hinting that the global economy may be near collapse. All right? Now, I don't know that that's true. I don't know that it's true that the low prices for oil really hint at a global economic collapse. But I don't. But I know the price of oil is down, and I wouldn't be surprised if the globe was headed for a lot of trouble. And then he goes on here, goes, says, when the weakness in China becomes so evident, it also affects all of its trading partners, and China is the largest trading partner of 124 different countries in the world. I have no doubt that there was a time when the United States was the largest trading partner from for 124, even 200, maybe 300. I don't know how many countries there are. I think there are roughly 300 in the world, but I'm not sure. But there was a time when we were the largest trading partner with the majority of the countries in the world, or so I suspect, and now it's China. That's not a good sign for us. And it's evidence of mismanagement, malfeasance, and perhaps even malignant intent on the part of the people running our government. Faber continues, he says, but the new point of view is that China's economic growth is nowhere near 7%, which is what many have claimed, and is more likely closer to 2% if any growth is there at all. He's saying, look, China may be the one that kind of pulls the whole world into a global recession and or depression. For whatever reason, China's economy is not functioning as people had hoped, expected, and There was a time where if the United States, you know, caught a cold, the rest of the world caught the flu. Now it appears that if China catches the cold, the rest of the world may catch the flu. So we'll watch and see what happens, but it's interesting to me. I mean, I'm amazed. China, it's not just that they're trading with 124 different countries. They're probably trading with virtually every country on Earth, but they're the largest trading partner for 124 different countries in the world. I don't know.
Well, you know, before 2008, 9, 10, we often talked about, you know, once the U.S. slowed down, it would affect China significantly. And with the hopes, everyone thought that the growth would come within China. But when you look at all those trading partners, and what I think really hurt, I'm not sure which came first. I think that the drop price in oil is significantly killing a lot of these countries that they do trade with.
Yeah.
And I mean, these countries are in severe difficulty because the oil prices that they've come to rely on are killing these countries. So
why are they killing the country? Do you understand why?
Yes, they do.
Well, I'll tell
probably you, not the same as you, but yes, they do.
Well, so, what I understand is that 80% of the cost of drilling an oil well, of extracting oil from the ground, is incurred when the well is drilled. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And once a well is drilled, you can just pump oil out of it almost free. But 80% of the cost of the oil you're going to pull out of the ground, out of that particular oil, out of that particular well, is encountered before you ever get your first drop of oil. Now, how do they deal with that? They deal with it by borrowing money to drill the well, which means these countries have gone into great, well, not these countries, these oil producers have gone into great debt in order to punch these holes down into the ground and start pulling out oil, and they'll use the oil to repay the debt. But when they made the plan, say, well, we'll drill this oil, we're going to punch this hole down in the ground, and we're going to spend however much money on it, and we're going to make X amount of money because oil will be selling for $70 a barrel.
You're right.
If it's not selling for $70 a barrel and it's selling for, say, $40 a barrel, guess what? They don't have enough money to pay off the debt that they signed up for, that they assumed when they drilled that oil, that hole in the ground in the first place. It's the debt that's killing them. That's where they're vulnerable, because they calculated we're going to have oil at a certain price, and therefore we can make X number of dollars, and it'll be easy to pay off the oil we borrowed. These guys are all in debt.
Yes.
And with lower prices, they can't pay the debt, and there's the vulnerability.
So did the slowdown in China begin with the drop in oil prices? I mean, I agree. I don't think China was ever near 7%. But, you know, so where is the slowdown, you know?
Well, the slowdown is everybody else's.
Everybody else. So I mean, the U.S.
China's
is not.
Prices have gone up. Their labor is. They can replace their labor with robots, for God's sake. I mean, I can understand if replacing American labor with robots. China can replace its labor with robots, which means, my God, if robots can replace Chinese laborers, they can replace everybody. Now, who's left to buy? Who's earning a wage? Who's got any money left to go buy some crude oil, or excuse me, some gasoline, and take a vacation and drive to Disney World? And the answer is fewer and fewer. And as they do, the whole economy tends to decelerate, term that Mark Faber was using. The whole thing is decelerating. All right?
But my point was, and we know that the drop in oil had a significant impact. And supposedly the drop in the oil prices was to hurt Russia. So now we're hitting China. We're hitting all these other smaller countries that are oil-producing countries. So what happens if they begin to raise oil prices again?
No,
so I mean, I think what they're doing, actually, personally, what I think they were doing is I think they were trying to continue this, you know, some sort of, and I think it got out of control. I do believe they are out of control.
Things out of control. The whole thing is out of control.
It is out
I
of
don't
control.
See
and I think these are signs. And I think these are signs that show us that confirms that they're out of control.
And that being the case, if no one's in control, it means everyone had, because now you're in a situation where, you know, every man for himself. All right, you're not going to be able to rely on institutions to protect you. Some will be able to do it. Not everything is going to disappear and collapse. But again, it's one of the reasons why you try to protect yourself. You get the food, the water, the guns, the ammo, the gold, the silver, and, you know, prepare. You may be camping out for a while. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Back. Melody and I are here on Financial Survival. Got an article from Reuters. And it reminds me of something like a horror movie. And just when you thought we were safe. Okay? Here's the headline. Eurozone countries vote on Greek bailout. I thought that thing was finally approved last week. And now, it turns out, it's got to be approved more. I thought the deal was finally done. All right, but no, it's not. Eurozone countries vote on Greek bailout. Reuters, here's a list of Eurozone parliaments that must approve the new €96 billion Greek bailout this week. Okay, they must approve. It implies that all of them, Reuters doesn't specify exactly, but they imply that all of these parliaments must approve the deal. If one of them says, forget it, we're not going along, guess what? Maybe it goes down the pipe. Now, I'm not saying that's true. I think I've heard that in the past, and I don't recall for sure, but it says they must approve. And they list, I think, four of them. Tuesday, Estonia. Estonia! All right, the parliament hold extraordinary sessions starting at 11 p.m. GMT time, 7 a.m., Eastern Daylight Time. Estonia has a say in this. If the Estonians don't vote to support the deal, it goes south. Spain, parliamentary debate and vote starting around 10 a. GMT. In any case, Spain, Tuesday. Austria, full parliament committee to vote. That's on Wednesday. Germany, Parliament in emergency session. All right? Netherlands. Debate begins at 10 a.m. their time, Greenwich Median time. And then on Thursday, Athens. Greece due to pay European Central Bank €3.2 billion. I don't know. Like I said, just when you thought you were safe and this was finally resolved, maybe it's not. And in fact, there's another article. I don't know if I clipped it and I put it here or not. There's another article I read today where Christine Lagarde from the Internal Monetary Fund has said they're not going along with the... Pardon me?
International, the IMF.
Yeah, international. What did I say?
Internal.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Thought it was like the internal.
You corrected me earlier.
That's why I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I corrected you, Melody, but now that we're even, we should be able to go forward in kind of a peaceful manner.
We'll go right on.
Just go along here. We'll just go along with the program. I don't know what I was even saying, but, oh, Christine Lagarde, International Monetary Fund. She's not prepared to go along with the Greek bailout unless, number one, Greece essentially proves that it's going to accept the conditions that have been imposed, not just sign on the line, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll do it. They want proof that Greece will actually go along with the conditions that have been imposed. And there was one other, Greece had to pay, I don't remember. The second condition, besides, I can't recall precisely what it was, but this thing is still a live issue. This problem with Greece is not yet resolved. This thing could still blow up in everybody's face. And I don't know. What are you going to say? You would suppose that some of these people would really just say, let's do this and be done with it, but no. It's going to be dragged on and dragged on and dragged on. So, we'll still be hearing about Greece. Who knows? That may be the big surprise, the October surprise. Maybe they'll finally settle the Greek problem or just say, to heck with it, we're going to get on with our lives and let Greece do what they want to do and we're done with them. You know, I published an article back in 1998 where I got a copy of the agreement between the International Monetary Fund and South Korea. At the time, 1997, thereabouts and earlier, the Asian Tigers, South Korea and Japan and perhaps Singapore, I don't remember who all were there. They used the term Asian Tigers to describe a handful of Asian countries that were making great industrial progress. Right? And they came on hard times. All of a sudden, the markets dried up for them and they were caught in a bind. And South Korea, in order to get out of this bind, they had to borrow money from the International Monetary Fund. And I read the document that explained what the terms of this deal was. And most people would sit back and say, oh, the IMF, they're a bunch of wonderful people who are here to help us. See, they're lending us money at extremely cheap rates. So they must be benefactors. They're literally giving the money away, or practically. How can you go wrong? Well, you go wrong by saying this is too good a deal to pass up. And if you need to borrow $50 billion, you say, what the heck? As long as the interest rates are so cheap, why don't we borrow $100 billion? Or maybe $200 billion? Why not? We'll be able to pay it off. Well, then things happen. The economy tightens up. You can't pay it off. And you wind up having to reach a deal much like the deal that's been reached between Greece and the European Central Union, or the European Union and the European Central Bank. And it turns out that the terms of the deal were, in the case of South Korea back in 1997, the terms of the deal were that South Korea literally had to give up most of its financial control and levers of power that were within South Korea. They had to be surrendered to the International Monetary Fund as a condition to get a loan that would help them avoid going into a bankruptcy. And they agreed to it. And in doing so, South Korea became a colony of the International Monetary Fund. They're still there. They seem to be functioning as an independent nation, but the truth is they've been colonized. And the second truth, once you saw that, and it was not an easy document to read. It was, I think, 46 pages, if I recall correctly. And reading through it was like chewing through a bale of hay. You had to just work to understand what every line and paragraph meant. But if you took the time, you could see that South Korea surrendered its sovereignty and became a vassal state, a colony of the International Monetary Fund. And once you saw that, and this is back 1997 is when it happened, 98 is when I wrote the article. Once you saw that, you begin to understand. Here's what, same thing's going on with Greece right now. If Greece goes through with this deal, Greece will have become a colony of the European Union. It will become their property. It will become their vassal state. It's no longer in a situation where they said, well, okay, we'll volunteer to join the European Union. What can we lose? It sounds like a cool idea. Let's all be part of the European Union. That'll disappear. Greece is going to be caught and trapped and snared, and they can kiss any notion of sovereignty virtually bye-bye, and they will be the subjects of European Union. Not a voluntary member, but property owned and operated by the European Union and the European Central Bank. We can expect, I expect at least, we'll see something similar when Spain finally goes into bankruptcy and Portugal goes into bankruptcy and Ireland goes into bankruptcy and Italy goes into bankruptcy or gets close to it. The European Central Bank, the European Union will be there much the same as the IMF was there to put South Korea into bondage. The banks, the Central Bank of the European Union will be there to put each one of these nations into an agreement. We'll give you some more money, but you got to give us the levers of power. And it'll be one of the ways they will consolidate the European, the members of what are now voluntary members of the European Union, they will be consolidated into something like the communist bloc. You ain't getting out once you're in, fella. You got in too deep in debt? You're either going to go into bankruptcy or you are going to agree to be our subjects. Now, what's it going to be? And most times the politicians will take the deal. Part of the reason, I suspect, is because if they don't, their own negligence, malfeasance, and perhaps criminality will be exposed to the public. So they aren't going to stand up and complain about it, even if they know what's going on. They're going to cover their own backsides. And they say, well, we better go along with this deal. That way we can avoid going to jail. We can avoid going to prison. Avoid being tried for treason. But the lesson of this is that these agreements that are supposedly there to save a country, none of this is about saving Greece. All of this is about putting Greece into bondage. Greece, all they had to do is just say, look, we're going to file for bankruptcy. That's it. We're done. We can't pay the bills. They could have kept their sovereignty. But they cut the deal instead. They have traded their sovereignty for a bowl of pottage. And before they're done, they will wish to God that they hadn't done so. But it is the way of the world, and we need to, from my perspective, we in America need to pay attention that we don't give up our sovereignty for a bowl of pottage that's purchased with our enormous debt. When the time comes and the government starts to collapse and the debt can't be paid, the government says, we got a new deal, we got to have a new deal, you people have to agree to go into bondage to pay off this debt, tell them, screw you. We're not. Take the bankruptcy, write it off, and we will work our way back to power, to prosperity. Don't take the deal. It'll be coming, and it might be 5 years or 10 years. I don't know when it's going to get to the United States. But the big debt ultimately puts you into bondage. Unless you simply have the nerve to sit back and say, fine, we'll take the bankruptcy. That's all. We're not paying. Ha, ha, ha. And we'll pay the price for that. A couple of bad years. But then we can work our way back to prosperity.
Well, I think what we've seen in all of these countries is that it really doesn't matter what the citizens want, though. Well, the politicians are out there, the governments are up there. And I think so many times all these analysts are wrong because they don't see this as a long-term agenda that's been occurring.
Yeah, I know.
And timing is everything, and they have all the patience in the world. And they pounce on the opportunities when they're there, and they'll wait. They know what the end game is. They want the end game. And so it really does come down to the citizens and you know. They're just ignored.
See what's happening. Yeah, I agree.
They're ignored. I mean, we've seen it time and time again how they're ignored. Just recently in Portugal, we've seen it, and you know, we were seeing it in Greece, and there was a another part, not Portugal, but so.
One of the reasons I think we have the problems we have with our government is because our election cycles have come to consume most. You see, we're supposed to have an election every 2 years, presidential election every 4 years, but a congressional election every 2 years. When I was a kid, my recollection is that the elections were on the news for maybe 6 months before the actual election in November. Today, they're in the news for 18 months, maybe more. We have people running for the presidency in November. It's over a year away before the election, and Hillary's already been at it since the first of the year, and so have some other people. Because the election cycles seem to drag on almost continuously, politicians are afraid to do the right thing because the right thing might hurt some people. Right? If the election cycle only was 6 months long, the other 18 months, politicians could take a shot at doing the right thing, even if it made some people angry, because they'd get over it before we got to the election cycle. Nowadays, I wonder, because the election cycle is so long, you know, do the politicians say, oh my gosh, I can't do anything that might upset the voters. It's only 18 or 20 months before the election. My gosh, I got to, you know. Play the game and just go along with it and hope for the best, because I don't dare stick my neck out. I'm not sure that the election cycle is necessarily causing an adverse consequences, this persistent election cycle, but I suspect it might be true, and it's an idea folks can kind of roll around the back of their mind and they can consider, and maybe it's true and maybe it's false. We've got 30 seconds left, Melody. Do you think it's true or false?
Well, I know what's true, and I know this is a great little special for $525 for a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 20 1-ounce Silver Eagles, and includes your shipping costs for $525. And if you'd like to upgrade those Silver Eagles, we have some really nice pre-1921 Morgan Silver Dollars that we got in this week. And that would up your price to $725. Those premiums have been very strong on those Morgan Silver Dollars. They didn't drop at all at this last phase of silver going into the $14. In fact, they went up as the spot price of silver went down. Supply and demand, folks, and they're nice coins. So you can upgrade those Silver Eagles to Morgans if you would like, but you have to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, folks, we're out of time. I'm Al. I'm with Melody. We're on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Seems to be a single penny left for me.